grace is the basis of our relationship with God. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to embrace the sustaining power of God's amazing grace.
You ever been around a Christian with a bad attitude? Have you ever had one yourself? And I'll tell you, when you do, you need God's grace to be with your spirit, to turn that attitude around and to help you recognize that God is good and we have plenty to be thankful for, and maybe even to help you forgive someone. That's what Philemon had to learn how to do.
In our fast-paced world of heavy demands and competing responsibilities, spiritual survival is a challenge. In our series, Transformed by Grace, we will discover how to fuel our spiritual tanks with the sustaining grace of God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. God's grace strengthens and sustains us. Yet many Christians never fully understand how grace should affect their daily lives. Through today's series, we will discover how to experience the victorious Christian life by God's transforming grace. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called God's Replenishing Grace.
How many of you believe this morning that when you were born again by the power and the person of the Holy Spirit of God? And He's indwelling our lives today. And He wants to strengthen us when we're weary with our commute and when we're struggling with our kids. He says, I want to strengthen you during this time. And so when we are fearful, God will strengthen us. When we are weary, God will strengthen us. In your notes this morning, I placed a verse that the Apostle Paul also used and that has encouraged my heart. 2 Corinthians 4:16, the Bible says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. Now let's just stop right there. How many of you have ever been there? Your outward man just said, hey, buddy, I'm done for the day. I'm tired. I don't want to go on anymore. Paul said, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I'm glad that my life is more than this old body here. I'm glad that inside of me is the Spirit of the living God, and that the new man, this new creature, can be renewed day by day through the preaching, through the praying, through the Word of God. The Spirit of God ignites a power within me, and we can be replenished and strengthened by the grace of God. I heard of a father and son who were shopping, and the little fella was carrying the basket for his dad. And as they were walking down the aisles, the dad would put some articles in there, and put some peanut butter and jelly and some different things. And the fella was carrying that bag. And after a while, the lady came by and said, son, said, that's a pretty heavy load for a little fella like you, isn't it? And little fella was standing there holding that basket thing, that little carrying device. And he looked up at the lady and he said, ma'am, he said, don't worry. My dad knows just how much I can carry. And I'm glad that I have a heavenly father who knows just how much I can carry. The Bible says he'll not try me above that which I am able. The Bible says that his grace is sufficient for me, and his grace will replenish my strength. And God will not put something on you without giving you the strength to carry it. And I'm thankful today for the words of the Apostle Paul when he spoke to his son Timothy and just said, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but day after day, I need to grow in grace. Day after day, I need to yield to the Spirit. And I need to acknowledge to God that I am weak, but He is strong. And I need to say, Lord, I need you to replenish me today and encourage my heart today and strengthen me for this journey. But notice secondly this morning, His grace replenishes our spirit. His grace will replenish our spirit. Now, when we were in high school, we used to play basketball, and cheerleaders would often ask this question. They'd be on one side of the basketball court, and they'd do this silly cheer. I can hear it in my ears right now. They'd do something like this. We've got spirit. Yes, we do. We've got spirit. And then they'd go, how about you? And they'd ask the folks on the other side. And they were excited to have spirit and school spirit. You know, I find that many Christians have lost their spirit. Many Christians have just kind of gotten so bogged down in the burdens and in the trials of life that their spirit is not what it once was. Sometimes Christians feel that they've been burned by another Christian, and so their spirit is poor. Sometimes they feel that they've been ripped off in some part of life, and so their spirit is not what it could be. Their attitude is not what it should be. And sometimes these Christians will even talk about grace, but their life doesn't manifest grace. And God says, I want to replenish your spirit. I want to put a smile back on your face. I want to encourage you about the Christian life. Now, God will turn you from doubt to faith. And He'll take a spirit that is a doubting, pessimistic spirit, and He'll create within you a spirit of faith once again. I'd like you to turn, if you would, in your Bible this morning to the book of Philemon. Just over a few pages there, the book of Philemon. We'll not go through this whole book, just one short little part of the Bible, Philemon. But there's a story here that really tells us about the spirit of a Christian. If you recall the story, Philemon had a servant by the name of Onesimus. And the Bible tells us that Onesimus had run away. He was a runaway servant in the first century Roman Empire. And on his journeys, he had met the Apostle Paul, who had led him to Christ. And so Paul writes the book of Philemon, and he asks Philemon to forgive Onesimus. This is a beautiful picture of what God has done for us in forgiving us from our sin. Well, Philemon had lost faith in Onesimus. Philemon's spirit towards Onesimus was not really that good. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever had somebody that frustrated you or hurt you? And maybe there was a breaking point in the relationship. And here was the case between Philemon and Onesimus. But I love what the Apostle Paul says in verse number 18 of the book of Philemon. He says, Philemon, he says, if he hath wronged thee, if Onesimus hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. By the way, that's what Jesus says about our sin. He says, put that on my account. Aren't you glad that your sin is on the Lord Jesus' account today and that you're not held guilty for your sin? But Paul says, put it on my account. Verse 19, he says, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. He said, listen, you may not want to forgive Onesimus, but remember, you owe me a whole lot too. And he said, because I was the one who shared the gospel with you. But notice now, down in verse number 25 of Philemon, Paul says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your, what's the next word say? Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. That's a small s. It's not speaking of the Holy Spirit. It's speaking of the spirit of a man. And he said, now, Philemon, I pray that God's grace will be with your spirit. You ever been around a Christian with a bad attitude? Have you ever had one yourself? And I'll tell you, when you do, you need God's grace to be with your spirit, to turn that attitude around and to help you recognize that God is good and we have plenty to be thankful for. And maybe even to help you forgive someone. That's what Philemon had to learn how to do. He said, Philemon, I'm praying that God's grace will be with your spirit, that you won't be mad anymore at Onesimus, but that your spirit will be different. Listen, if you're living in anger towards someone today, that someone is controlling your life. Your life is nothing more than a reaction, like a ping pong ball going off the wall. And you'll not have God's blessing when your spirit isn't right. And so he says, I pray that God's grace will be with your spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 22, he says this again. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. And God can take our doubt and turn it into faith. He can take our pessimism and turn it into hope. And God says to Philemon, I want you to let God's grace change your spirit about this matter. There might be some way this morning where the grace of God needs to change your attitude just a little bit, where there needs to be a little attitude adjustment this morning. You know, sometimes you see folks and they'll come to church and you can just kind of tell they'd rather be at the Dodgers game, you know, just kind of sitting like that. And they're not sure they want to be there. They're just kind of going through the motions. And you know what? God says, I want my grace to change your spirit. George Mueller once said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. And God says we need to learn through His grace to have faith once again and to trust in Him. Secondly, He wants us to grow from discouragement to hope. From discouragement to hope. Sometimes our spirit can become a discouraged spirit. Notice in your notes there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through," what's the next word say? "Grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work." God says, through my grace, I want to give you hope. By my grace, I want to establish your life. I want you to turn from discouragement to hope. But that will only happen when we are yielded to the Spirit and allowing His grace to work in our hearts. It may be during a time of sickness and discouragement comes. But God says, I want you to focus on the promises of my word. It may be during a time of family breakup. I don't know if that there's anything that's harder to observe than the anguish on a little child's face when their family's breaking up. And sometimes you look into a child through that moment in their life and your heart just aches for them as they go through that. You know what they need during that discouraging time? They need the love of God expressed from us and also as they themselves grow in grace so that they'll not be bitter, but that they might see the loving hand of God in their life, that they might allow God's grace to replenish their spirit and to encourage their heart. God's grace will replenish our strength. Though the outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. God's grace will replenish our spirit. When there's a sorrow, when there's a bad attitude, God through His grace will strengthen our spirit. But notice finally this morning, His grace replenishes our supply. His grace replenishes our supply. You know, when we recognize our own weakness and our own emptiness, we will soon realize we need God's strength to move on in this life. Just like a car needs gasoline to get on down the road, we need God's power to keep going in life. Now, I want you to see some things God supplies for us in this life. First of all, God will supply forgiveness by His grace. God will supply forgiveness by His grace. Now, let's turn right now to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And let's see some of the most wonderful verses in all of the Bible in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse number 8. And let's see the power of God's grace at the very early moment of someone's life, perhaps even before they're saved, when they just begin to understand what grace is. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now God says, my salvation, forgiveness for sin, the covering for your sin, for by grace are you saved. He said, it is a gift that I'm giving to you. I'm going to supply this forgiveness to you by grace. It's something that is totally undeserving. It is a work that God's going to do in the heart of someone who believes, perhaps even today. It is something that is a free gift. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, religion has complicated the matter of salvation. Religion has brought various types of works that are taught, things that must be accomplished. And if that's not enough, sometimes we're even told that after you die, we have to pray for the repose of your soul and try to hope that you might get up into heaven. Boy, we're involving even others now in the whole process. But God says it's not about your works. It's not about the works of someone else. It's all about the work of the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross to completely pay for sin. My friend, we don't pray to anyone else for salvation. We pray to the Lord Jesus Christ, who graciously offers salvation as a free gift. And so by His grace, we are saved. In other words, not one person here deserves to go to heaven. Not one person here is good enough, because the Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. But the forgiveness of Christ allows God's righteous demands to be met through the blood that was shed, and his righteousness is made full in forgiving us based upon the price that was paid. Jesus shed his blood, and by his grace we are saved. Not far from New York City, there is a cemetery where there is a particular headstone that has just one word on it. There's no name on it. There's no birth date or date of death. This stone is just simply a stone with one word on it. No eulogy, no family history. The one word on that stone is this word, forgiven. Forgiven. Think about it. Of all the things that could be said about you, aren't you glad this morning that you've been forgiven by the grace of God? A little boy was standing outside Buckingham Palace, and he wanted so badly to go in and see the king. And of course, that's basically an impossibility. And he wanted so badly to have an opportunity to go in. And so the guards rebuked him. They said, "Now get away, son. You're just being a bother. Stand back." And the little fellow began to cry, and he stood back, and he was just sort of staring at the palace. As the tears rolled down his face, a man came by and said to the little boy, "What's wrong, son?" And the little boy said, "Well, I wanted to go in." And the man took him by the hand and walked him right past the guards and took him up to the throne. He had taken the hand of the Prince of Wales. And I'm thankful today that when I was without hope and had no way of entering into the presence of God, that his son, Jesus Christ, came and died for my sin. And that Jesus says, "For whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that when I trust Jesus as my Savior, he takes me into the throne room where I might have fellowship with God. My fellowship with God is not based on the merit of any human being. My fellowship with God is based on the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God supplies forgiveness by his grace. But I want you to notice also, God supplies help by his grace. He supplies help by his grace. You know, sometimes the Lord calms the storm, and sometimes he lets the storm rage and he calms his child. And I don't understand God's sovereignty in the way he works in the affairs of men, but I know that he promises when the storm is raging that he'll come and he'll give strength and encouragement to our hearts. I want you to turn this morning to one final passage. Again, one of my favorite passages of the Bible. But you know, these are encouraging verses of the Bible. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, concerning the ministry of Jesus Christ, the author of Hebrews says, beginning in verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." Now, friend, the fact of the matter is that with all due respect towards other religious systems and ways, we know from the Bible that there is but one high priest, there is but one mediator, and that is Jesus Christ. Colossians says that he is the head of the church. And so Paul says, knowing this, that we have an high priest, he says in verse 15, he says, verse 14, "Let us hold fast our profession." Let's not compromise our professed faith in Jesus Christ. Verse number 15, though, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are." What are the next three words? "Yet without sin." But notice verse 16 now, very important. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Grace is that by which the soul is supported after we have received mercy. It is that by which we are purified from unrighteousness. It is that by which we are upheld in our trials and difficulties and enabled to prove faithful unto death. Now listen. Even many of the men in the Bible didn't finish well. And if you and I are going to finish well, if we're going to finish strong, I mean still in church, still reading our Bible, still loving our family, if we're going to finish strong, then it will not be because we just held on and we were such mighty men. It will be because we came to that throne room And we said, Lord, I'm here again asking for help. Lord, I need grace again so that I might forgive. I need grace again so that I won't quit. I need grace again so I don't get mean and nasty. Lord, help me to grow in grace today. We need grace to help in time of need. God does not always remove the trials and struggles of our life, but He says in this verse that He'll give us grace when those times come in our lives. And oh, how we need God's grace today. I once heard of a little boy who had in his room a shoebox with a lot of leaves and little twigs, and in the middle of it all there was a cocoon for a moth. And this little fellow was interested in nature and so forth, and so he was really anxious to see that moth come out of that cocoon, and he was just daily checking the cocoon and so forth. One day he noticed the moth had started to try to break out of the cocoon. There was a little opening. He could look down in and see a little bit of color. And the boy noticed that the moth was struggling to get out of that cocoon. And so in an effort to help, he reached down and he just kind of widened the little opening in the cocoon. And sure enough, that cocoon opened a little more, and out came that moth. And yet the boy watched as the moth's wings were shriveled, and it seemed like they just remained shriveled. Something was wrong. And what the boy had not realized was that the struggle was necessary for the development of the moth's muscle system. And in his attempt to relieve the struggle, the boy had crippled the moth for the future. And we see in that lesson that sometimes trials are necessary for our growth in order that our faith muscles might be stretched. But God says when the trials come, if you'll approach my throne room, if you'll see that Jesus Christ, our great high priest, has made access to the throne room, and if you'll come to the Lord Jesus with your trials and with your needs, then during those trials, while God may not remove the trial, He says, I will give you grace for the trial. I will give you strength and help in your time of need. And as Paul the Apostle said, God's grace is sufficient and God's strength is known in our time of weakness by the grace of God. And so His grace replenishes our supply. I don't know what your supply need is today. Some people here this morning need the forgiveness of sin. You need to know that heaven is your home someday. God says, I'll supply that need by my grace. I will forgive you. Others today would say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I'm going through a tremendous burden in my life today. And I say to you this morning that God has grace to help you in your time of need, that God can touch your heart and minister to your soul in a way that no man can ever minister. And God can give a peace and understanding in a way that none of us could ever do it. And so we see this morning the importance of the words of the Apostle Paul to this young preacher named Timothy. Be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say, oh, Timothy, just suck it up, boy. He didn't say, be all that you can be. No, no. He knew that wasn't enough. He said, be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace will replenish our strength. And God's grace will change our spirit and give us a right attitude. And God's grace will replenish our supply. Whatever it is you need today, God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Let's pray together, shall we? Father in heaven, we come before you this morning to thank you that your grace is sufficient.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. That's 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.